You are tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Welcome to Brewocracy Now on KPTZ, our weekly chat with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, with a special guest today. Luckily, we've had guests for the past, five weeks or so. Today will be no different, and this is your chance to ask any question you have about all things Port Townsend. The easiest way to do that at this point is to write a email to me, dj@kptz.org. Good afternoon, John.
Hi, Tim. How are you? Good to see you again.
Good to see you again. And this is our new time at 12:30, so keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. We have a new time for Brewocracy Now, but a little bit later. But we have 25 minutes to cover a lot of ground, and I'll let Mr. John Morrow introduce our guest today.
Well, thanks, Tim. Look, we've had this really fantastic series going on, which is essentially helping the community understand and have a conversation really with our elected decision makers. And so I think today is, I believe it's the final edition of this series. And we have council member Amy Howard with us today to share some of her thoughts, to handle questions and perhaps have some discussion about how she serves a community. And frankly, like the other guests, it's not just at city council meetings. There are a suite of responsibilities on top of her regular life and regular work that she gets to do as a city council member. So welcome, Amy.
Hello, I'm coming to you from the Habitat for Humanity office. So please pardon any extraneous roundabout noise or office related interruptions.
Oh, no, we're getting used to the Zoom here when we do our live broadcast. It's always a little bit of bumps in the road, but thank you so much for joining us, Amy. I, or Council Member Howard, I sometimes not sure how to address folks, whether you would like to go by that or Amy, either way is fine with me. And, you know, I looked at your background, Amy Howard, and it is, you have some interesting committee assignments, starting at the top, finance and budget, housing, rules. You're on the OLICAP Board of Directors. You were the executive director of the Boiler Room. And so I think that this is a perfect time to speak to that one issue that has been constant since we've been doing Brewocracy Now. We've gone through different subjects that tend to come and go in the public's interest. One has not. One is a constant, and that is homelessness in Port Townsend, the status of the fairgrounds issue, the involvement of Bayside Housing out there, how things are going out there. And you seem, with John Morrow, uniquely qualified to speak to those questions.
Well, the very, very short answer, which we can expand upon, is that it is a ongoing problem that isn't going to be solved without a significant infusion of capital. We do not have the funds necessary to solve that problem in any sort of neat and tidy way at this time. What we do have is a really remarkable partnership with a lot of organizations in this area that are working on the affordable housing and homelessness issues. I don't know that it is regularly understood how much work those organizations are doing and how bad it would be without their help. So it's really important to me that it is recognized that it is an issue, that it is an issue without a easy solution.
It is perhaps the most difficult issue facing us right now, from my viewpoint. Mr. Morrow may have some other opinions on that, being as deeply involved with all aspects of the city government as he is. It is a high profile one, though. It's one that elicits a lot of comment, a lot of emotion. And so being on the housing committee do you see, I mean, obviously a significant infusion of cash, lack of money is the root of all evil as far as I'm concerned. I stole that from George Bernard Shaw. But with, in a perfect world, homelessness would be solved simply by that. This is more difficult. And how do you see this putting ourselves a year from now, or even later in the summer when the county fair has begun? Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel on this particular gnarly issue?
Well, I think part of the problem, if we're going to continue on metaphor lane, is that there's a couple different tunnels here. We have a tunnel that is carrying the train of coincision of mental health issues in addition to housing issues. We have the train that is pure housing issues. We have another train coming through that is COVID related, and the incoming end of the eviction moratorium and what is going to happen with that. So I'm a little bit afraid at this point that the light at that end of that tunnel is a train. So the actual building out the tunnel, the solutions that we need to come up with are so multifaceted. I think again that the agencies that are doing the work on those issues really need support in order to be able to, and that's a point I will hammer home repeatedly. We need community support to solve this problem. It's not a problem that's going to be solved by the city or by the county. It is an issue of people taking care of their community and a recognition that these are our community members. Whether they are community members that you are particularly fond of or comfortable with, they are a part of our community.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Councilmember Howard really nails it. And I think if there's anything I would add, Tim, it would be, you know, there are multiple tunnels here and trains, and sometimes the tracks end and sometimes they're broken. And, you know, I guess fundamentally, you know, I personally see homelessness in particular as a symptom of a greater concern. And you know, kind of to go to the meta here, you know, we have an inequitable society with systemic problems that affect some people more than others, and most often and frequently for no fault of their own. And so if we have an unequal society that doesn't protect our most vulnerable or doesn't recognize that the system's rigged for a lot of people, we will have problems that manifest as behavioral health or as homelessness. I think the larger work on the systemic nature of that problem is really hard because it's not even just our region. I mean, this is a federal funding issue, a national policy issue. It goes to the state level as well, and arguably even wider than our own country. And so I don't want to make it sound like it's intractable, but it certainly is complex. And I think as a community, I guess the call to action is, in spite of this tangled systemic nature of the problem, what special attributes do we have as a community for caring, for sort of intellectual and social capital that we can muster to make a big dent in the problem, at the same time influencing the larger conversation at the state and national levels that are really gonna affect our viability moving forward. So it sounds a bit dark, but it's also kind of a, you know, Port Townsend's unique, I think, in that we can call on our community in ways that other communities can't, to sort of roll up their sleeves and help.
And to roll up their sleeves and advocate. That's another thing that this community is actually really, really good at. We just need to make sure that advocacy is pointed in the right direction. If the city doesn't have the resources to solve the problem, who do we need to be asking?
And I'm not sure that there's a total understanding of how intractable the situation is or how much it is due to, in my mind anyway, at least the economic system that we live in, and how much and how little a municipality of this size is able to grapple with, especially when it comes to the mental health and drug addiction issues. If we could make those go away, I'm sure that we would do that in the morning. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I have noticed that has social media has, it's reached a bit of a crescendo on this particular issue. And I see Brewocracy now as a way to to do a bit of rumor control or a bit of laying out the facts on where we're going. I appreciate the candor from both of you, because there is no easy answer. And from what I'm getting here from Councilmember Howard, it is much of this depends on the community and their support of the organizations that can chip away at it, at least. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, I know we're here with Councilmember Howard in her council role, but just to, you know, to sort of sing the praises for Habitat. I mean, they're building, you know, with sweat equity, hard work, good planning, and community support, physical places for people to live and, you know, find shelter and, you know, hold down steady jobs and contribute to the community. And so even though the issue is huge, intractable, challenging, complex, there are literal steps and things we can tangibly do. And I think the city plays a role there, just like, you know, Habitat and a lot of the other providers do. You know, the city can press go on a suite of housing choices, you know, and that's something that I've been really focusing on too, and how we provide the infrastructure for that, how we recognize that, you know, affordable housing, for instance, requires public subsidy. And for whatever your, you know, public opinion about projects current and in the past, you know, there's no way for it to pencil out as a sort of a solid business proposal without local, state, or federal subsidy. And so there are a number of projects that are moving forward right now because of success there. And I think that'll really, I think, demonstrate some traction to actually get, you know, a variety of, you know, transition, affordable, you know, market rate housing built, to take the real strain off this community who, you know, we're having a hard time attracting candidates for jobs. And I speak for the city, but also for, you know, a lot of the employers here. We're having a hard time having people still be able to afford living here who have grown up here for decades. So, you know, I want to make sure that because the focus is on what we do together, the city's not off the hook here. We play a pretty important role as part of, one of many players.
Well, and John Morrow, since you brought up federal subsidies and infrastructure, there's a $2 trillion bill working its way, and from which I understand 50% comes directly to Port Townsend. So do you think that will help? That was an April Fool's joke, John.
It's like, did someone reroute the railroad to come back here? And, you know, sorry, Seattle. No, I mean, I think you're exactly right. There are, you know, we've been in kind of really regular conversation with Senator Murray and Cantwell's team and also with Congressman Kilmer. But on the Senate side, you know, there's some politicking around a particular senator from West Virginia who's got some power right now. And I think that infrastructure bill, while the president is speaking about that right now, it sounds like it's not on an absolute fast track. So I don't think that's something we can bank on immediately. But, you know, there have been recent bills like the American Rescue Plan that have gone through. So I think we're finding ourselves in a situation of trying to be nimble, learn really quickly. I mean, I know my team is learning quite a bit about what opportunities the city has from the American Rescue Plan, and then actually advocating directly to the federal government for what we need for our community. And we've done that very recently, and we'll continue to do so.
Well, we are about halfway through bureaucracy now. I did want to touch on something with Councilmember Howard. There's an election coming up, 3 seats on the city council. I think that somewhere in Port Townsend, people are sitting around the dinner table considering whether to run for a seat or not. And there's been a bit of a light shown on how important it is to have council participation, people running for these seats, and the importance of the city council in our everyday life. You've been at this for 2 terms now, is that right?
I'm in my second term, yes.
You're in your second
term. About 6 years.
6 years. And what do you consider an essential attribute for somebody considering running for the city council?
Almost endless patience, number one. Number two, a willingness to actually engage with folks, even if you don't agree with them, or even if you don't feel like they are... forthcoming with the information that you need, a willingness to engage with people until you are down to the kernel of truth in what they're trying to talk to you about. I have been fortunate through my terms that the vast majority of people are willing to engage at that level and be kind. The other thing is a very thick skin for the people who are not willing to meet you at that level. We do get some folks who are not kind, frankly, in their frustration with city council and what city council can and cannot do or isn't going to do. So that, fortunately, in Port Townsend is really a rarity, though.
Well, there you go.
Also, more time than you think is humanly possible to dedicate toward learning about all of the things that are falling under the city council purview. You have to become an expertise level on a ridiculous number of things. So I don't want to discourage anybody. All of those things sound a little bit rough. Once you get into that groove, though, it's actually fun.
Oh, so that's important. That is important. So far, lots of patience and skin like Kevlar is important to be in the city council. I imagine that's true for anybody in city government. Have there been any surprises? Has it been what you thought it would be to be on the city council? Have you been able to do the things that you thought you would be able to do?
I have been able to work on a lot of the things that I thought I would be able to do. I learned a lot in the first year about what I would be able to do and not be able to do. There's a lot of misconception about what city council is actually able to do. But the biggest surprise has been, you know, all of a sudden we're in a pandemic and things aren't operating the way that they are set out originally to operate. And we've got to figure out this whole new method of communication and how to even have a council meeting. We aren't able to really have the same levels of conversation that we do when we're in chambers together. So working through that process and working through those communication levels was, because of the Washington state laws, all of that happens in public. So the public got to see all that entire process of us figuring out how things work well in communication. And I'm really actually looking forward to being back in chambers so that I can be looking at my council member quad, that's not the right word, council member folks, and can see facial expressions and not have the interruption of technology. Half of the time, I'm not even able to be on video in council meetings, so nobody can see me at all. I sit there very professionally with nobody able to see me.
It's a very interesting point, Council Member Howard, because I have the same problem in doing interviews. I feel that it's very difficult to do this by Zoom. If John Morrow were sitting next to me and I could watch his body language, it makes a big difference. And see, and I can see that, John. It makes a big difference in the way that we communicate as humans, and it just doesn't quite lend itself perfectly to doing it in a virtual world. John Morrow, you did bring up, and I know you must be, I don't think you could probably walk down the street without running into perhaps a business owner or somebody in town that has an opinion to share with you. What have you been hearing as we kind of claw our way out slowly out of the situation we're in? How does it look from the business standpoint? You did mention the difficulty in finding people to hire, and frankly, if you walk down Water Street, there are a lot of open jobs. I wonder how difficult that is right now.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, look, I was able to get out of my office situation for a total of an hour this morning, which is kind of an unusual delight. And in doing so, I was able to talk to a few of the city team. We're doing some work out front. And part of the conversation centered around, hey, not quite as sunny as yesterday, but like the trend here and, you know, look forward to kind of getting back at it and seeing people without face coverings and that kind of thing. So I think people are, you know, generally optimistic, realizing we're still in this pandemic and needing to be quite careful. But there's a sense of optimism that might be accompanying the warmer temperatures and the longer days. And then I walked over to the Maritime Center area and a coffee over there and got to catch up with the fire chief and actually meet a bunch of his team, because they were doing a bit of work there with the Maritime Center on some training. And those conversations, it was, kind of the same. It's still very much real, and we're standing far apart and, you know, putting our mask on in between sips of coffee. But I felt a little sparkle in people's eyes, kind of being eager to get back to being a community again in the ways that we know how. And that's part of the reason why I came here and came back to the Northwest was, you know, Port Townsend knows how to get together and have a good time and really celebrate what it means to be a community. And we've done pretty well during the pandemic this last year, you know, still maintaining connections, city council meetings, public services, you know, helping each other out. But I mean, just the very fact that Wooden Boat might happen this year is like, yes, you know, like those are the things I think a lot of folks really live for. So I guess I'm coloring a little bit with my own perspective, but I think cautious optimism is what I'm hearing from when I walk around town.
Well, frankly, after a year of COVID, I'm surprised that there are so many establishments that are still in business. May not be fully open, but that have not gone under, because I can't imagine how difficult that would be as a business owner to stay alive during these times, given our economy. I think that the locals may have chipped in a bit to make that happen by ordering out and keeping the ball rolling. But all in all, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling optimistic, and I'm hoping that some point soon we're out at concerts on the dock, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, the community's done. I mean, again, I've been calling out Jefferson Healthcare because they've helped keep me alive in the last few weeks. But they've been rolling out vaccinations, working really hard to get through people. Jefferson County's been leading the way at the state level. Our community's really been vigilant. I mean, I don't want to get to like, congratulations, it's all over, everybody go back to normal yet. But I think there's something to celebrate on the other side of this, where we've really gone through the hard bits together. And it's reflected in the number of people if you haven't got your vaccination, you're eligible, go do it, you know, and in 2 weeks, we'll all be eligible, according to the state and the governor's announcement yesterday. So, you know, the faster we get to that, the more likely it is for us to be able to move back to what we recognize as normal.
Yes, and not a minute too soon. Council Member Howard, I want to thank you for being candid about the situation that we're in. As I said, it's a constant question that I get from folks. Oh, well, bring this up, you know. And the fairgrounds is an issue. With a lot of folks, and I frankly am really perfectly happy not being a decision maker on that one. But I do appreciate the work that everyone has put into make that not go away, but slightly better. And I guess that's really all we can hope for at this point is incrementally making that situation better out there for everybody involved.
Hey, Tim,
I'm a huge fan of incremental improvement. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Yes, John.
Could I say, there's one thing that I think, that it's been on our minds collectively too. And it kind of goes to, you know, people filing an election season and all that, and the kind of call for a strong local democracy. We've got seven people who we elect to make decisions. Largely they're pretty undercompensated, at least from my personal perspective, because they put, instead of getting, you know, how many dollars per hour, that's sort of like hours per dollar. You know, there's just an extraordinary number of responsibilities. It's like another full-time job to some degree. And council members are compensated $500 a month and the mayor $750 a month. So that's an issue that I think council member Howard could speak to a little bit. I'm not proposing what's right and what's fair, but it's an approach that we want to kind of wrestle with as a community over the coming months. And I maybe want to hear from Councilmember Howard if she has any thoughts here.
And Councilmember Howard, we have exactly 1 minute to speak to that issue.
Council pay is an equity issue. If we want to have people, only people who can afford to do the job, we're not fairly representing the community, and we're not having the people who are affected make the decisions. I live paycheck to paycheck. And at one point this summer, when we were working on the public safety committee, I did the math and I was making $2.53 an hour while I was working for council.
And it's a point that I've intended to bring up during every one of our discussions, and I've been a little lax at that. And because it's more than just increasing the amount of pay for our city council. I think it's important because it changes the demographic of who represents us. If we want to be represented by people that are all retired or people that are fully comfortable with their fiscal situation, it changes the decision at the top. I think that, you know, it's necessary to have a blend. I don't think that we'll ever have a living wage that's not reasonable, but benefits and an increase in our city council is something that I personally think is very necessary to make the city council fully reflect the city that we live in. So I'm so glad that you brought that up, Mr. Morrow, and I am past my time. I want to thank you so much, both of you, for being on, and we'll see you again.
Thanks, Tim.
Have a lovely day.
Thank you.